Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Good morning, church family. So blessed to be coming to you through video on this wonderful holiday weekend. God is great and greatly to be praised. I want you to stand up on your feet, take your Bibles with me. The book of Acts, chapter 11. That's Acts, chapter 11. We're going to read together in the New International Version. The start of the series called Built to Last. And this is the second message in that series. And I have every hope, and it is my most sincere prayer that your heart would be illuminated, that you would be encouraged this morning, and that you would be forever changed as you leave this hallowed hall, that you would be forever impacted by God's word. Acts chapter 11, let's read the word of the Lord, starting in verse 19, let's go. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the final verse, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand before you today, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to give us living understanding, that your power, your grace, your anointing, your enablement is coming upon every man and woman, boy and girl. Thank you for what you've done in worship and the time of prayer. Now, as I preach your word, may it burn in the hearts of your people. And may we be never the same as a result of it, in the name of Jesus and all of God's precious blood-bought people said, amen. Started the series last week called Built to Last. And the reason I started it is simply because there's a lot of confusion about the church, what the church is, what it isn't. And I've heard even well-meaning people declare that the church's purpose is to just be unified. But in actual fact, that is not the purpose of the church. It's an aspect of who we should be unified. But the purpose of the church is found from our last message last Sunday, from Matthew 16, verse 13 to 20. The purpose of the church is that God would build it and that the gates of hell will not prevail. There's a mission. There's a purpose. It's a plan from God. It's not human wisdom. It's not a human design. It's not a club. It's not something that you just join and then and be a part of. It is a divine outpost of heaven. And it's important to understand why we're gathering and what the purpose is. It's to reach the lost. It's to worship God. And so we've started this series called Built to Last because the church is eternal. I want you to say that. The church is eternal. And so it's so important for you to understand it's not human opinion that we're gathering here. It's a mandate by God. And it's important to have a healthy understanding of eschatology, which is the study of the church. Eschatology is the study of the end times. Ecclesiology is the study of the church, similar in sound. So this is going to help you, this series. And it's very important as our culture has drifted far from the importance of church. The ecclesia, it's God's idea, he's building it, and he uses us, and he uses his word, he uses the power of his spirit. Churches used to be the center of community. Well, it's the center of the community here. You drive into Wasilla, and there you see the church. It used to be in every town across America that there was a church in the center of the square, and there it was with the steeple, and the church was the center of things. Things have drifted in our culture, but I have good news. Come on, somebody say good news. Good news that America's turning back to God and the church is becoming the center of our communities all around the nation. I've been a part of great moves of God now in the introduction. And if you don't have notes, I'd encourage you to just lift a hand if you haven't received those just yet, and they'll bring that to you. I've been a part of some great moves of God. I'm born in 1966 and was a part of, on the periphery, because I was young, the Jesus Movement. The Jesus Movement affected all of California. They baptized thousands of people. I was growing up in New York. And the Jesus Movement touched New York, touched Chicago, touched all of America. And I remember people in tie-dyes witnessing to me and telling me about Jesus. I remember being at the Catholic Church where I was raised in my early childhood years. We went to Catholic Church. And being there, I remember the priest on this one Sunday said, "We have some young people here today. And they're going to lead us in song." And the young people in tie-dyes with guitars, there's about four of them, sang some incredible worship song where the presence of God fell. And I remember, I think I was 10 years old, and I was deeply impacted by that. It's a Jesus Movement. It was a movement in America that touched our nation. I believe we're headed to another one. In 1995, I was impacted by the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Maui, Hawaii. In the early 90s, even here in Alaska, God poured out His Spirit all over. Great miracles in Barrow and from Barrow to Ketchikan, God poured out His Spirit through different preachers and different churches being set ablaze by the glory of God. And many of you remember that and were a part of that. I believe we're headed to another outpouring of the Spirit of God. And throughout God's word and throughout history, you will see people who are touched by God's power, key individuals, they're sent out and powerfully used to bring about the effect of a growing church and a transformation of society. Look at your notes with me. See, individuals were sent by God's Spirit, began to witness and serve and give thanks for the sake of the gospel. That's what happened in the Jesus Movement. In the Jesus Movement, people were not afraid of witnessing. They would hitchhike and share their faith. They would witness in the coffee shop. They would witness in the store. They would witness to their family. We have amazing technology now to share our faith with people and to witness. And that is what I'm going to talk to you about, how the church was exploded in the first century. And in every century that people went out throughout the ages, the church exploded. The same is true today. Look at a review here. Look at the text review of what's happened in the church up to this point. Acts chapter 2, they're filled with the Holy Spirit on the Jewish festival of Pentecost. 120 filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 3 and Acts 4, the effects of them being filled, people began to be healed. And this man gets healed, this lame man. The effects of that is some persecution. And Peter and John are threatened by Jewish leaders. Don't preach and teach. There's opposition that comes to the church. And so they have a prayer meeting, and I want to read this to you, Acts 4 and verse 18. And they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we've seen and heard." Can you imagine that? That God would touch you in such a way that you can't help but talk about it. You can't help but testify. And that has happened for hundreds of people in this great church. It certainly has happened to me. That's why I stand here preaching and teaching you. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing for all these many years. I got impacted by God, and I can't help but to tell you that He's the answer to every woe. He's the answer to every human need. He's the one that'll set you free, the one that'll satisfy you, the one that'll set your feet high upon the hill, strong upon the bedrock of God's word. He's the one. And when God touches you like that, you can't help but talk about it. I mean, we talk about restaurants that we go to. We talk about great food or great recipes or great experiences and mountains we've climbed or animals we've hunted or fish that we caught. How much more when God touches you and it impacts you and transforms your heart, pulling out the heart of stone, putting in the heart of flesh, how much more will we talk and testify? And that's what happened here We can't help but testify. What hinders the church, what hinders God's people from seeing revival is a boldness that's birthed out of an encounter with God. Theology is to bring you into an encounter with God. That is what theology is for. It's not to puff you up in your thinking or to spout off platitudes. It's to have an encounter with the living God. And once you encounter him, there will be a genuine heaven-sent boldness that will come into your heart, and you won't be able to help but talk about him. Can you say amen? Can you say a louder and a better amen? Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. And they prayed for miracles. They prayed for God to do miracles in verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from towns in Jerusalem, bringing their sick and their tormented and impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Can you imagine here in Wasilla? Can you imagine in Alaska that such a demonstration of God's power is put on display because such a boldness is released in your heart that signs and wonders and miracles happen in the streets, in the school, in the highways, in the byway, so much so that people begin to gather. I've seen this place filled over and over and over again, and impure spirits being driven out of people. I've seen the blind to see, the deaf to hear. We've seen that in portion here, but I see a great multitude of people being added to the house of God. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what God's will is. That's his plan, to set the captives free. And the church grew so much, they began to have administrative problems. This is just some background of the text in which we read. And so they, in Acts 6, adjusted some of the administration. And that's what happens in a growing church. You have to adjust things, as we have done here over the years. Those men become more than administrators. They become witnesses. They become those who would share and testify the goodness of God. And they go into these outlying cities because of persecution. And our text picks up the results of the persecution. We don't even know who they are. Men go to Cyrene and go to these different places. Unnamed people travel and spread the gospel. They went to Phoenicia, right in your notes, Cyprus and Antioch. They preached to both Jews and Gentiles, and the Lord's hand was with them. And the text says, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. What does that mean? That means as a result of their being sent out, as a result of their going, as a result of them being impacted by the power of God and then going and witnessing, great numbers of people believed in the Lord. Somebody asked me, Pastor, how is the church growing so quickly there at Wasilla? How is that happening? How is that happening? What is your strategy? What is your tactic? Are you doing advertising? We have social media, certainly, but that's not how we grow. You know how we grow? You, me, us, talking, sharing, testifying, laying hands on the sick and having them experience freedom and joy. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. That's what's happening in America. People are turning to the Lord. Somebody ought to shout amen. That's what's happening in America. And that's what's happening in the state of Alaska. Well, God's speaking to us very simply. God is deeply concerned about the lost. You can't read the scriptures and not see a God who's filled with compassion, who longs to see people turn to him. For God so loved the world. How many of you know that? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. It's his will that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. That is his will. That is why we're here. That's why we built this building. That's why we pray. That's why we do what we do, because it is his desire that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. Can you say yes? Yes. The church grows. The growth of the church is seen when individuals are sent and have a heart to see people saved. When people are sent forth, when people go, don't wait for a committee to endorse you sharing your faith. Be used by God, be sent by God, experience him, and then share that experience with other people. The church grows when individuals are sent and have a heart to see people saved. Acts 16 and verse 18, Paul's there. And he's greatly annoyed, and he turns around, and he casts the devil out of this girl. He was greatly concerned for her deliverance. And Matthew 21 and 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all who sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of prayer, and as a result of the prayer, we see God's power. As a result of God's power, we're becoming witnesses, greater witnesses than ever before. We must be committed to sharing our faith. We must be committed to witnessing. It is a pillar of your walk with God. Come on, raise a hand to heaven and ask God to help you. Lord, help me to be a witness. Help me to be committed to sharing my faith. Not only that, but we must be committed to serving God with our whole life. It's not just a Sunday morning. The church has nothing to do with buildings, has everything to do with people living in community. It's a community of faith, a community of committed people of faith, the church. And there's a church universal, which of course includes other bodies, and there's a church local in a given locale. And each church has a different vision, but all of those visions should line up with the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost parts of the world. Wasilla is our Jerusalem, if you can think it that way. It's our backyard. And Palmer and Willow and all around the whole state and the United States of America. We must be committed to be a witness. We must be committed to serving God with our whole life. And thirdly, we must give. Tithe and give. Why do we do that? Because it funds everything. Giving and tithing is a commitment to God and an acknowledgement that you're in covenant with him, but it also is that which ran the temple back in the Old Testament and in the day when Paul talks about it. Do you not know that the temple received offerings and it ran the temple in the same way, Paul says, that's how the church runs. So we need to be committed to serve, committed to witness, committed to serving with our whole life, must be committed to tithe and to give. The next thing I see here is don't allow intimidation of any source to keep us from being a witness. Don't be intimidated. Everybody say that. I can't hear you. Try it again. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by anything, by anyone. Don't let fear move you. Who cares what people think about you, really? I mean, we should be sensitive to people and kind, but there's always people that don't like you. What do they call them? Haters? Haters gonna hate. Don't worry about it. Live for the audience of one. Live for the day that you stand before God with your life, having lived it out. And may you live for that day that we're commended. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't be intimidated. Pray for boldness. Pray for bold. Come on, lift two hands to heaven all across this great sanctuary, all those online. Let's pray for boldness. God, I pray that you would release a boldness from heaven, that we would be as bold as a lion, filled with the love of God, gentle and kind, but bold, unintimidated, unintimidated by the culture, unintimidated by people that don't like us, don't want us to share, unintimidated, bold, filled with the love of God. I pray for boldness in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Pray for boldness. I pray for that on a regular basis, and God has granted it to me and so many others as well. Boldness is how the gifts operate, through love and through boldness. Without boldness, you're not going to step out. Without a boldness, you won't move forward. Pray that God will use you in signs and wonders. That's the second thing I see here. Don't be intimidated. Pray for boldness. Pray that God uses you in signs and wonders. Some of the greatest miracles that have happened in this church have happened by people just having a boldness to go to the hospital and lay hands on someone and pray for them. A boldness to go and to lay hands on that sick person in Walmart or in the Safeway, the cars, and at Costco. Pray that God would use you in signs and wonders. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So pray that God would use you in signs and wonders. Come on, lay hands on your own heart. Lord, use me in signs and wonders. Lord, you come on, pray with me. Lord, use me in signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Signs point to the Savior. That's what it's all about. It's not about worshiping a sign and wonder. Don't ever do that, because there's angels of light that come that are not of God. Demonic spirits will come and perform miraculous signs, even to deceive the elect, the Bible says. It's not about signs and wonders. It's about God. It's about his word. It's about his resurrection. It's about his death. It's about signs that come from him. So signs point to the Savior. They're not to be worshiped. The third thing I see here is go. Go forth. Go. Get going. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, get going. Get going. Hallelujah. And fourthly, get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Early on in my walk, I learned that I should just answer all the altar calls, because I'm sure I need healing somewhere. And I certainly need another touch of the Spirit of God. Years ago, I had a prophet come up to me. I think I'd been saved maybe 5 years or so. And he prophesies to me and he says, you love the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh yes, that's right. I love the Holy Spirit. He says, God fills you every service. Yes, he fills me every service. He says, but you drain out by the time you get to your car. I'm like, what? And he was right. I was distracted. I had certain things that were causing me not to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us not only needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit right now. Get a fresh touch of the Spirit of God right now. Come on, lift your hands all across this place in the Philippines, wherever you are. Lift your hands to heaven. And as you do, I pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Let your fire, let your power, let your anointing rest upon these. Break off discouragement. Break off timidity. Break off fear. Holy Spirit, release a fresh touch of God right now. Holy Ghost, come upon your people, the church, your bride, the eternal church, the blood-washed host. Let your power come now. Break off discouragement. Come on, just talk to God all across this place. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for a fresh touch. Thank you for a fresh touch of heaven in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look back at your notes with me. We got to remember that we're important to God. You're important. I'm important. We are important. If God wanted to do it by himself, I'm convinced he'd do a much better job than us. But that is not the economy of God. That is not how God designed it. That is not God's intention. Otherwise, he'd send angels or better preachers than anyone ever could be, divine ministering spirits. But we find in Scripture that's not the case. God sends mankind. God sends man. God will send you, not an angel. He'll send you. An angel might support you, might be trying to push you forward, But he'll send you to preach the gospel, to share the good news, which is Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin. And on the third day, he rose again from the grave. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He sends people out because people are important to his economy. We're co-laborers with God. God, we're supposed to be his ambassadors. Come on, look at your notes. We must remember that we're important to God, for we are God's ambassadors. Everybody say, I'm his ambassador. God's ambassador. I am his ambassador. Say it again. I am his ambassador. Yeah, what does an ambassador do? We've seen a lot of things happening in the news, and God is using ambassadors and using our president and using different ones. And his plan is to build the church, built to last. If the church is eternal, yet he uses the likes of you and me. He uses mankind throughout the ages. You're important to God. You're important. You're his ambassador. How are you doing? I mean, I'm sure we've had some ambassadors that didn't represent the United States so well. We've had some other leaders that didn't represent the United States so well. In the same way, the church, Jesus said in Matthew, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. The way that he builds his church is through people, through his spirit, through his word. He uses people. And when God wants to bring an outpouring, he looks for a man. He looks for a man, he looks for a woman who will declare and have a boldness to speak the truth on his behalf. That's what the apostles did. That's what Stephen did. That's what these men and women of God did, spreading the good news. They went out by God's power and they spread the good news. You know what's going to bring a great breakthrough here in Alaska? You. God chose you. God chose me. God chose us to be his ambassadors. This week, stir yourself to be a witness. This week, stir yourself to pray for somebody. This week, pray for a boldness that you would see yourself as God sees you. Someone who's washed by the blood, cleansed and redeemed and made a new creation. Someone who's now God's mouthpiece to declare the glory of God. God wants to use you. You're his ambassador. Shake free of the fear. Shake free of the apathy. The apathy means you don't care. Shake free of that and let God use you. Let God send you out. Be ordained right now to be a witness for God. That's how the church grows. One by one, they began to come to a great number, began to gather. God used them powerfully, and as a result of their witness, we're having church this morning. What could happen as a result of your witness? What could happen as a result of your boldness, your obedience? Oh, wonders can take place. Signs and wonders. God is sending us out. We're important. We're ambassadors. Soon we're going to be opening our life groups. And I'm so excited about that. Life groups are opening. We'll have 200 small groups all around this region. And we'll have 100 teams, worship team and usher team and security team, all kinds of different teams. Why would we do that? Because it's in those places that we can make disciples. It's in those places that we can reach communities. We've had life groups in different neighborhoods that have impacted the whole neighborhood. They'll walk through the neighborhood praying for their different neighbors. Then they begin to invite them like on a Thursday night. And people come for an hour and a half and they hear the word and they're taught and they have fellowship and they have prayer. That's how the early church grew. They met house to house, the Bible says, and they met in the temple courts, which is a picture of the main gathering like this time of celebration. But those house to house meetings are important too. I'm telling you, we're headed for a great outpouring because you're getting a hold of this. You are called by God to build the church. God's building it through you, through me. He's sending us out, thrusting us out into the harvest field to see a great ingathering, even the fullness of the Gentiles. Can someone shout and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Come on, shout again. Hallelujah. Shout one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads for just a moment all across this great sanctuary and again, those online? And if you don't know Jesus and you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled. He's building his church, yes. He's building it through us, yes. The first step of being a part of his construction team, if I could say it that way, his building crew, the first step of becoming an ambassador is having your sins forgiven. And the only way that you can do that is by receiving the one who paid the price for your sin. His name is Jesus. With the heads bowed, once again, and intercessors praying, if that's you, you want to give your heart to Christ for the first time, you want to repent of your sin. You believe in your heart that Jesus died on a cross. You believe in your heart that he rose again from the grave. And you want to make a decision for Christ. You want to repent. You want to turn from your sin and receive him today all across this place. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to slip your hand up in acknowledgement of your need for a Savior, your desire to be forgiven, your desire to have heaven as your home when you die, and your desire to be an ambassador, to be powerfully used, to fulfill the purpose that he has for your life. On the count of three, raise your hand if you want to be included in this prayer. One, two, three. Do it right now. God bless you. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Come on, lift your hand high, unashamedly. God bless you. God bless you. All those online, God bless you. Would you stand with us right now, all across this place? Every single person in this sanctuary, stand up. Would you stand? Praise the Lord. If you raise your hand, pray this with me right out loud. There'll be hundreds of others praying with you. Right out loud, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So come on, pray right out loud. Repeat after me, say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, right out loud, say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I believe that he died on a cross. I believe he rose again from the grave. I ask you today to forgive me. To come into my heart, to wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you lift your hands again, a universal sign of surrender to God? Father, with hands raised all across this place, those that prayed that prayer for the first time, those that made a recommitment, and all of us who affirmed our faith, I pray, Holy Spirit, touch them now. Break every bondage, break every curse, release your power, release your boldness, that they would take their place in the end time army of God. Thank you so much for what you've done during this message, what you've done at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed and received Jesus this morning for the first time or recommitted, would you let us know? We would love to celebrate with you. And there's a way in which you can grow in the things of God. It's called discipleship. We have every Sunday, nearly every Sunday, four Sundays out of the month, we have a Discover track upstairs. And there's another thing called the Foundations class, which meets in the lobby. And there's these small groups and things you can do so that you can grow in God. It's important to grow in the knowledge of God. It's important to go to church. Go to church. Church is important. It's God's idea. Be a part of it every Sunday. Sunday night, not just Sunday morning. Sunday night also, Wednesdays, 7 o'clock. Be a part of what's taking place. Be a part. He's building his church and you're a part of it. And we're so glad that you've come to worship with us and be with us on this amazing day. Congratulations. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, see us outside at the Next Steps desk or or both, you can text us at 907-357-2065 to let us know you gave your heart to Christ. Did you get something from God? Did you get something from God? I did. He's sending out his workers. He's releasing his laborers. He's sending us out as ambassadors, and that is bringing an outpouring. He's building the church. Built to last, the eternal church. Put your hands together for God all across this place. Come on, shout to God. What an awesome God we serve. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and I'm going to close in a benediction and bless you. Father God, thank you so much for what you did today. Bless your people, God. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards us. Be gracious to us, keep us, and give us peace. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. We'll see you next weekend. God bless you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.